Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about, firstly, talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. Today I have Julie Tankard in the studio with me. Julie is the Chief Finance Officer of the Port of London, an organisation responsible for all of the running of the River Thames. It's a huge job. She's C-suite level of this organisation that turns over 55 million, and she's had a really illustrious 30-year career, 17 years of which was working in a senior leadership role in British Telecom as well. She's had large global teams. She's worked for a number of different industries. But what's so interesting is that she started off, as she puts it, in pretty normal average school, average academically, a hard worker very much so, but certainly not numerate and certainly with no clear intention of what she wanted to do. And in fact, started her career in nursing before literally sort of falling into a job which happened to be an accounts assistant. So and here she is now as a chief finance officer, and I met her as part of a leadership program for the Confederation of British Industry. So she's a very impressive individual, and she's here to talk to us about the role of CFO and hopefully to inspire our listeners. Julie, thanks so much for joining us. Would love to start by hearing about your journey from when you were at school through to where you are now. Now, you've had a 30-year career, which is extremely impressive, so you have got a lot to tell us. But let's start with where you went to school.
Okay, well, I went to school. My primary school was in Australia, in Sydney, and my secondary school was in Liverpool.
Great. A big difference. So when did you move? What prompted that move?
Yeah, my parents were from Liverpool. They'd emigrated to Australia, and I was 11 when we decided to move back to the UK.
Yeah. And what was the school like that you attended in Liverpool?
It was, in those days, called a secondary modern school. So it wasn't the best school. Okay. Academically, but actually I had quite a nice time there, met lots of nice friends.
And how academic were you?
I would say I was sort of average, really, nothing overly special.
And how about your numeracy, bearing in mind your current role?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was never frightened of numbers. If you'd have said to me then that I would have become an accountant, I probably would have laughed.
Yeah. And so what A-levels did you do?
I did economics, sociology and history.
And you did those at that school?
Or? No. The school I was in didn't do A-levels, so I left and went to college, where I had a fantastic time, but probably didn't work as hard as I should have done.
Right, okay. So how did you do in your A-levels?
So I would say I was deeply average.
And at that point, did you do any sort of work experience or anything?
I'd worked in a fruit shop for a number of years from about 14 years old.
Wow.
And then I worked in a bar when I was 18.
Okay. So that obviously earned you some money. And did you get anything else from it?
I actually really always enjoyed work, probably the social aspect of it and learning how to interact with people and deal with difficult customers and all of that type of stuff.
Yeah. And having done your A-levels, what were your thoughts then about what to do?
Well, so part of me wanted to go to university, so I applied to go to university, and The other half of me decided to apply to do nursing because I had an auntie who'd been a nurse and she travelled all over the world. And the idea of travelling was very appealing to me. So I decided to go down the nursing route and I moved to Harrow in Middlesex when I was 18.
Wow, so that is sort of quite a vocation. Were you driven as well by, you know, the desire to help people, look after people, things like that?
Honestly, no.
Right. Okay, so you were, it's a big move from Liverpool to Harrow.
Yeah, and I guess I'm somebody who likes change and deals with change quite well.
Yeah.
Because I moved, I met a great set of friends who actually I'm still friends with, and had a brilliant time socially.
But, and these are all student nurses.
Yeah. But the job probably wasn't what I envisaged.
So you decided not to go to university. When you were applying for university, what was it that you were going to do? Would it have been accountancy?
I was looking at business studies. But, you know, the truth is I had no idea what I wanted
to do. You
didn't
want to, yeah, okay. That's the situation that so many are in at that time. And it sort of just starts to pan out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So how did it start to pan out for you? You went down to Harrow from Liverpool. You started nursing. You made all these great friends. You did the nursing for how long?
I was there for about 7 months.
And then
I realised, actually, this is not something I envisage myself doing. I just couldn't picture myself in that role for very long. So I decided to look for a job because by then I was quite settled in Harrow and I wanted to stay there. So I decided to look for a job, any job really at that stage. Again, had no idea. I basically just went and, you know, looked at sort of local firms, went to a recruitment consultant and managed to, you know, get an interview for a job, was lucky enough to get the job, and it sort of went from there, really.
So I want to talk a minute about that interview, because you got that job, and at the time, as you say, it was sort of any job. You weren't sort of picky about what job it was going to be because you weren't sure what you wanted to do, but you got this job, and I'm fascinated when you told me about the interview process. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I got this job. I got the interview for this job, and I went along, and the human resources lady interviewed me, and at the end of the interview she offered me the job.
And this job was for an accounts clerk?
Yeah, it was, yeah. But it was quite a junior, you know, very junior accounts clerk
job. In a large or small business?
It was sort of medium-sized construction business. At the time I said to her, you know, thank you very much for giving me the offer, but actually the salary was so low I couldn't afford to pay rent.
Right.
So she was quite taken aback and sort of said, okay, give me 10 minutes, and rushed off, and then came back and said, actually, there is another role available, but we were looking for somebody, you know, sort of 5 or 6 years older than you. But would you like to apply? So I said, yes, please. So they immediately shuffled me downstairs. I went for an interview with their chief accountant, and he offered me the job.
Wow.
So, which was sort of about 50% more money than the job I'd first gone for.
Yeah. So bearing in mind that, you know, when you arrived at that interview with some nursing experience and some retail experience from when you were at school, so you had no numerate experience, no accountancy experience as such, what do you think it was about you that convinced you? Must have been really such a great performer in that interview.
It's interesting because I've never really thought about it until this moment. Probably confidence, I think, is one thing, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and probably the fact that I even thanked them for the job and turned them down probably took them, you know, aback, really. But I would say it is probably confidence, but also people skills and being able to talk. I was always an avid reader as a child, so I think I've always been able to have a conversation with people on pretty much any topic, and I think that must have helped me.
It is so important to read stuff, isn't it? Because,
yeah,
you know, it only gives you an understanding of a wide range of topics, and you never know when you're going to be interviewed, you know, who that person is and what they may be interested in, and you can always gain a bit of rapport by having a subject in common or a knowledge of a subject. But the other thing is that it widens your vocabulary when you read a lot. So I think, and anybody can do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, you tell us what happened.
Well, so I started working, you know, in this role, and I actually did find that sort of thing that I was good at. And I always feel very lucky that I found something that I was really good at, because I've never found work to be a chore. It's something I've always enjoyed.
Yeah.
And so I found that I enjoyed it, and therefore I was good at it. And so I did more and more complex things.
How long were you at that company?
2 years.
And did you start to do any studying at all?
No, when I was there, they encouraged me to think about becoming an accountant. And it was the first time that I'd even really thought about it. And initially, I thought, oh, gosh, you know, this is not something I'd ever even considered. And then I thought, well, why not? So I moved on from there and went to another sort of smaller company. And I actually did my accountancy exams predominantly at that company. And they helped sponsor me through them.
And then you went on to a bigger company, Unisys.
Yeah.
And you were there for how long?
I was there for 7 years. Thoroughly enjoyed my time there. That was sort of my first experience of working in a large organisation. And I guess what I liked about that was the sheer variety of roles that were on offer.
Mm-hmm. And you were qualified by this point?
Yes, I just qualified when I joined there. And I moved more out of a mainstream finance role into sort of more management accounting, more financial analysis. And that's really where I started to realise that I liked the commercial aspect of finance, the sort of the business side of it as well as just the pure numbers side.
And your salary started to increase quite significantly once you were qualified, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it made a huge difference. You know, I once I was qualified, I sort of got, you know, a significant salary increase and a company car. And all of a sudden, I felt like all of those years of studying had sort of culminated and into something, and it was worth it.
You then moved to another very large role, didn't you?
Yeah, so I moved from there. Eventually I moved into BT, which, you know, I stayed there for sort of 17 years. And that was sort of, you know, an even larger organisation. And that was a really great experience on many levels. But again, it gave me the opportunity to move around a bit and not just stay in finance the whole time. So I got the opportunity to move out of finance and do some commercial roles and then move back into finance and then back out into a sales role. You know, so I got, I would say at Unisys, sorry, at BT, I got a brilliant span of different jobs with great experience.
And this is where you really were introduced to sort of large team management and global sort of projects and things.
Yeah, I spent most of my time there in the global organisation. So I ran sort of large global teams, which was great. I did quite a lot of travel while I was there. And it was really interesting to work with people from, you know, different walks of life, different nationalities, and yeah, really good experience.
Mm. And so just at this point, just pause to think about that for a moment. This is this girl who was in Liverpool in an average school, as you said it.
Yeah.
Averagely academic, as you said it. Didn't go to university, started as a nurse, and then sort of, as you said it, fell into a job, performed very, very well in the interview, but then worked really, really hard and did these qualifications and was prepared to put the hours in, really, and to become good at something. And, you know, you ended up, you know, managing £1 billion deals.
Yeah.
For a massive organisation such as BT, so it just shows you what is possible. And that wasn't the end of it, because you then moved around a little bit more until we got to your current role. And tell us a little bit about that role now.
So, yeah, I'm now the Chief Finance Officer for the Port of London. It's an organisation that's sort of £55 million turnover. We're a not-for-profit organisation, which means that we do make profits, but we reinvest it back in the into the organisation, into the infrastructure of the Thames. And it's a great role because, you know, we're responsible for looking after the river.
And the River Thames.
All of the activity that goes on the Thames, both from a commercial point of view, but also there's a lot of tourist side of it, passenger activity, and it's hugely diverse. I'm responsible for finance, IT, legal, and estates. So it's a smaller organisation, but a broad role.
Mm-hmm. Give us a sort of a flavour of your typical day, what you're responsible for, how long it is, that type of thing?
So I guess on average, I work sort of 10 hours a day in the office. No 2 days are the same, which is part of what I really enjoy. So I can be looking at what our cash flow position is. I can be looking at whether I think we're going to make our income and expenditure target for the year. I can be looking at an investment strategy. I can be looking at a plot of land that we might be thinking of buying, or at the moment I'm heavily, I'm spending a lot of my time looking at IT systems and how we move the organisation forward and how we can be more efficient. So, and as well as that, I'm interacting with my colleagues who are involved in, you know, navigational issues on the Thames or planning issues, and also interacting with customers and stakeholders. So, you know, no 2 days are the same. And, you know, I really love the variety.
Mm. And how many staff do you have in your team?
40.
And where are they all based?
They're all in Kent, which is where our main operation centre is.
So you see them face to face
quite
a lot?
Yeah, I do. I spend, you know, half my time, sort of most of my time in Kent and some time in London. It's actually great to be able to all be in the same building. It's probably the first time for a very long time that's happened to me.
So you've had teams before, maybe even bigger teams, but they've been spread all around the world or different locations. And so you sort of walk past them every day and say morning and things like that?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in sort of walking the floor and saying hello to people and try and get to know people.
Yeah.
I think that's how you learn a lot about what's going on.
Yeah.
And also it makes you more approachable so that people feel that they can come and talk to you and that you can sort of hear the issues firsthand.
And what do you sort of love best about the role, and what would you say are the greatest challenges?
That the people where I work are particularly friendly bunch, and you know, I'm a big believer in having a bit of fun while you're at work.
Yeah.
You've got to have a laugh and enjoy it. And for me, the best thing about the role is the sheer diversity of it.
Right. Yeah,
That's what I enjoy. And also, I think in a smaller organisation, you've potentially got more chance to influence things than you have in a larger organisation. And the things that probably frustrate me are, you know, I see so much opportunity to change and improve things. And it's about prioritising those things and realising that not everyone wants to run at the same pace that you want to, and sort of, you know, affecting change but not turning the place upside down.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously you're new in this role and there's lots to do and lots of things that, you know, impacts you want to make and everything. Where else would this type of role lead for? You know, so for CFOs, what could they do next?
Well, I think as I've demonstrated, probably having spent most of my career in IT and telecommunications, to move into a marine environment is that you can actually move into any industry. Yes, you've got a steep learning curve to learn the industry, but actually a lot of the skills that you have are transferable. So I would say, you know, don't ever be frightened to move industry. Actually, it can give you a whole sense of, you know, real change. And
there must be nuances, different nuances. So basically, you could transfer from one CFO role to another, and you could do that numerous times in numerous industries.
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
I'm absolutely convinced of that.
Yeah. Well, you've done from construction to petrochemicals to tech.
Yeah.
You know, to now marine. So amazing. And also, CFOs do tend to be considered and to move into CEO roles as well, don't they? Chief executive roles.
Yeah, I think because of the nature of a CFO role, because it's very broad in nature, and quite often there is a lot of interaction with the chief exec, and you know, you tend to work in partnership. That is a natural step as well.
Yeah.
And I think that largely depends on the individual, because if you're going to move into a CEO role, you have to be someone who enjoys interacting with customers and the external environment.
Yeah.
If you're someone who prefers to stay internal, that probably wouldn't suit you.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure that we have now inspired lots and lots of listeners to want to go down this route, because it sounds really super interesting, very diverse, certainly not poring over a set of accounts. And also, you don't have to necessarily be a sort of a real lover of numbers in order to sort of take this as a career route.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's start with some questions, first of all, for anybody who's sitting listening, you know, whether they're school, college, university, or actually midway through a separate type of career. Firstly, would you say you need a degree for this?
You definitely don't need a degree at all, no. I mean, you can go and do an apprentice program, or, you know, you can just start doing your accountancy exams yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so it depends what path you decide to choose.
Yeah. So if you're at school, you're doing GCSEs, and you've got the option A-levels or not A-levels, what would you say there?
I would always say do A-levels. One, because I think it delays making a decision for 2 years, and I think that when you're 16, you probably haven't got a clue what you want to do. And so doing your A-levels just gives you more choices.
And does it matter what A-levels?
No.
Right. Okay. So any A-levels you like that you think you'd be good at?
I would say do something you enjoy.
Yeah.
If you do something you enjoy, you'll do well.
And I know myself that if you are someone who doesn't want to do A-levels, then you can go and do a level 2 apprenticeship in something like business admin, get that, and then move into a level 3 apprenticeship, which would be access to accountancy, so ATA. So there's that another opportunity as well if you really, really couldn't or didn't want to do A-levels.
Yeah.
So assuming you've got that then, or, you know, one of those routes, either GCSE or A-levels or a degree. If you were going to do a degree, though, does it matter what type of degree?
No, again, I would say do something you enjoy. If you decide to do an accountancy degree, then I would say, you know, as you go through that degree, look at the different modules and potentially select the ones that will give you maximum exemptions from your accountancy exams.
Yeah, of course. What's the maximum number of exemptions you can get?
I think it's 8 now. It depends on what degree you do, though.
Yeah. And how many exams are there in total
to be an accountant? Depending on what accountancy institute, you know, you're looking at sort of 15 or 16.
Okay. And there are 3 main accountancy institutes, aren't there?
Yeah, so there's, I mean, I did the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants. There's ACCA, and there's the Institute for Chartered Accountants for England and Wales.
That's the ICAEW.
Yeah.
So you've got those choices.
Yeah.
And ideally, you would want to get a firm to sponsor you.
Yeah.
To do them, but not necessarily, because you could go to college, night school, and do them and pay for them, or get, there are lots of government schemes to fund you, or as we said before, you could do it via an apprenticeship.
Absolutely. Or you could even just take a job in an organisation, and if you shine, they can sometimes will offer to pay for your exams.
Yeah.
if you speak to them. So there's lots of different avenues.
And would you say that you have to be massively numerate at the beginning?
I think you've got to be somebody who's not scared of numbers. You know, some people panic when they see numbers. So you've got to be someone who's fairly comfortable around numbers. But, you know, you don't have to be massively numerate.
So you can be just logical, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, you know, people need to sort of do well at their GCSEs, get their English and maths plus their other subjects. And as long as you feel sort of comfortable with numbers and you're someone that's fairly logical, then you should, you know, it's something you could definitely consider.
And you don't have to do it overnight.
Correct.
I mean, you can take it however long you want. Such great content you've given us, really. And I think that what we're seeing here is that anybody who's listening to this, if they really are focused, prepared to put in the work, they could take this advice and become a qualified accountant. It might take a bit longer than it took you, but the fact is that it's possible.
Absolutely.
And once they're able to do that, they've got such a transferable qualification, great skills, they can move across from large businesses, small businesses, different countries. Really are so many opportunities. Amazing career that you've had and that you're having. So thank you so much. Is there a way that people could contact you, Julie, if they wanted to, just to ask more questions?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm probably the best way to contact me is through LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to message me, I'd be more than happy to respond to that. That's no problem at all.
Okay, fantastic. And I wish you all the best in your role at the Port of London. Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you.